This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Aaron Schatz of FTN Fantasy will join us. We'll go over some NFL. He just finished his projection, so get his thoughts on some of these over-unders, general thoughts on the draft, the NFL offseason. So excited to talk to Aaron. Haven't done much NFL really since the season ended, so I'll talk to Aaron here in a minute. But I'll start with baseball. Haven't done baseball here in a few shows. Been mostly, you know, college basketball. Did some NBA and the Masters, which is underway now on Wednesday with Kelly Bidlin. Talked a little bit about it on Monday with Matt Humans, and obviously a lot of college basketball up until this point. But let's check in a little bit on baseball here. 2 weeks in, recording this as the Thursday games are going on. Not a lot of action on Thursday, which is typical. I'll go division by division, just give a thought on a couple teams here, and we'll start in chronological order. The AL East, the Yankees, and really have not heard a lot about these torpedo bats the last few days. That was the story of the season in baseball the first few days. They had a million homers against the Brewers, especially that weekend, that first opening day. They won a pretty low scoring game. We're lucky to get out of it with Devin Williams at the end. And then Saturday and Sunday just hit a million homers, and it looked like, wow, what do we have here? They have revolutionized baseball. You know, they're hitting homer after homer, scored 20 runs in one of those games. 11 homers over the over that 2 day span or whatever it was. It's really calmed down a little bit. And the bottom line with the Yankees, as they are plus 125, they just don't have the pitching. I mean, and you can make the excuses for them, and they're valid excuses. Well, they don't have 60% of the rotation, 3/5 of the rotation. Cole, Schmidt, and Heel is missing, which is fair. But the bottom line is, you're going to throw out there Stroman and Carrasco and, you know, Will Warren. Freed will be fine. Freed's pitched generally well. He's pitched well his last two times. Wasn't great that first outing against the Brewers. Rodon is very hit or miss, really hit or miss, gives up a lot of homers, gets a lot of swings and misses, but gives up a lot of homers. You can't trust him. The fact that he's at the top of the rotation says everything. So to me, Yankees are very, very flawed. Okay, you'll get Schmidt back. To me, he's not that much of a difference maker. You'll get Heel back at some point, but that's a long ways away. And he's another guy who, you know, he had a good year last year, but he was really up and down too after a hot start. So to me, this is just barring a trade. They don't have championship pitching. Boston, 6-7, slow start. But if you're looking to jump in Boston, you figure, oh, I missed the best of the number. They're plus 350 to win the division now. And like I said, they're only 6-7. But 7 of the next 10 games for the Red Sox are against the White Sox. So they get 3 this weekend in Chicago. Then they play Tampa for 3. And then they host the White Sox for 4. So that's a chance for Boston to really, really get on track and fatten up and stack up some wins in the coming days, because that's about as soft a schedule as you can have. Then they get the Mariners after that, the Guardians after that, back with the Blue Jays, who are in first place. Now, the Blue Jays have not played terribly. I mentioned this a couple times. Blue Jays are not terrible. 8-1 to win the division. I don't think they can actually do it, but they throw a decent pitcher out there every day with Gausman, with Brios, with Bassett. Who knows what you get out of Scherzer. Bowden Francis threw the ball well last year. Do they have enough behind Guerrero? I don't know. I mean, it wasn't that long ago where everyone loved this everyday position talent for the Blue Jays. It's just a lot of it didn't develop, kind of fell off the Bichettes of the world. But Blue Jays at 8-1, I'd probably need a little bit more. But if you told me, hey, I bet the Blue Jays 8-1 to win that division, I wouldn't say it's the worst bet in the world. I wouldn't bet Tampa at plus 750. Baltimore has not played great. They just can't keep their pitching healthy, Baltimore. Eflin goes on the IL. Grayson Rodriguez is hurt. They didn't bring back Burns. They're in a situation like the Yankees where they just don't have the arms every day. I think they'll play well. I think they'll eventually be a playoff team, but I think a pretty wide open division. I think the bet here is Boston, and I wouldn't be shocked if Toronto. I have a hard time seeing them actually win the division, but if they're, you know, if we're doing this show in July, August, and like they're 2 games out or something, I wouldn't be shocked. I think they can hang around. The Central is bad. These teams are all just a muddled mess, with the Tigers being the short shot right now to win the division. Just read these odds. These are Tigers plus 155, Royals plus 245, Twins plus 330, Guardians plus 450. The White Sox, who everyone said, oh, they're a little better this year, they're a little better. Well, they have quietly lost 7 in a row going into Thursday's play here, 2-9. They're not much better. They're really not much better than, they've been, than they were last year. So Detroit's at 7-5 there in first place, but you got Kansas City, Cleveland right behind that, right around 500. Cleveland still looks a little long at plus 450. I think if there was a bet there, I would take Cleveland plus 450. I like Bibby. I like Gavin Williams. Obviously, a wide open division. Could you win that division with 85, 86 games? Detroit's not like unbeatable. Kansas City's not unbeatable. I understand there's some regression coming with the Guardians, but that's one where I think Cleveland is the bet there. If anything, the West, I think Texas is still the best team. They're 9-4. Now, Wyatt Langford, sir, they got these guys. They just got a lot of guys that can't stay on the field, but they're 9-4. The Angels, the quiet surprise of the season so far, 7-4. They've been able to keep Trout on the field. I know it's only 11 games, but hey, you got to start somewhere. They've got Soler. They got some at least some professional bats. I don't think they're maintaining this pace by any stretch. It's still early, but maybe the Angels can at least be competitive. They're not a threat, I wouldn't think, to win this division or even compete. Houston 5-7. Wouldn't panic, but not great so far. And all these teams, Athletics 5-8, Mariners 5-8. I think Texas, as long as they can stay relatively healthy and keep DeGrom on the mound and keep Seager on the field, I think Texas is the best team. I would bet them plus 105. NL East is looking like a two-team race. You never want to discount a team as talented as Atlanta 2 weeks in. But hey, 2-9. I mean, 2-9. They're already 6 games back behind the Phillies and the Mets. I mean, you got 100-something games to go here. You played 11, so you got 150 games. So six is not insurmountable. But that's at least a hole, and you will get Strider back, you will get Acuña back, so you can't count them out. But I would expect Philly and the Mets, and they haven't played the Mets head to head. They did just play Philly head to head, but 2-9 is still a hole. So Philly is plus 115, and the Mets are plus 180. I mentioned Mets when they were, plus 230, plus 240 in the offseason, the winter doing these shows. Like, man, I don't know that they should be this long. I think those teams should have pretty equal odds. Well, that's corrected a little bit as the Mets are down to plus 180 and the Braves are at plus 275. If I had to bet anyone, I would probably still go with the Mets just because you're getting almost 2-1. And I do think that's pretty much a coin toss between the Phillies and the Mets. Not that I love the Mets pitching. And if I had to pick a winner, if I had to just pick a winner, forget the odds, I'd probably pick Philly because I still like the pitching they send to the mound every day with Wheeler, with Noah, Sanchez, Lazaro. That's a pretty good rotation. But as far as the odds, I would probably prefer the plus money. I think that'll be a close race, though. I think the winner of that East, I think the fact that the Braves, the Phillies, and the Mets are all really good, and the Nationals aren't terrible either at 5-7, played well against the Dodgers this week. I think they'll beat each other up enough to where nobody gets to like high 100 wins or even high 90s. The winner probably wins 94, 95 games. I think both the Mets and the Phillies will be in that range, and I just don't know. Even though it's only 11 games for Atlanta, I don't know that you can overcome 2-9 to get to like 95. They would have to play really, really well. They did it a few years ago. That year they hunted down the Mets, but we'll see if they can do it again. The NL Central is a little like the AL Central, where it's just a lot of mediocrity. Cubs are in first. Cubs are odds on to win this division, minus 105. Brewers plus 230. The Reds, who everyone loved before the season, they just blow these games left and right. Blew a 6-0 game on Wednesday to the Giants. Cardinals 9-1, Pirates at 12-1. Pirates are awful. They lost the other day with Skeens. They can't hit. Jared Jones is bad. Jared Jones is hurt. So the Pirates just, I was watching the other day, Joey Bart's their cleanup hitter. I mean, they're not a good team. They don't win the Skeens games, forget it. And they've had a pretty soft schedule too. They played the Marlins, to open. That's a team that's in a lot of early trouble here around Skeens. They just do not have much. The West is loaded here in the NL. Dodgers, Padres, Giants have played well. So we head into Thursday. The Dodgers, for that great start, are in third place, tied for second, I guess. Well, percentage, no, third place, because the Giants have a better winning percentage at 9-3 as opposed to the Dodgers 10-4. So Padres 10-3 in first, Giants 9-3, which I think will come back to the pack, but good start for them. Dodgers 10-4, important win. Important might be a stretch, but they were about to get swept to Washington, and it would have been their fifth loss in 6 games after the red hot start. They rally back, they beat Washington, they avoid the sweep, and now they're 10-4, so they stop the bleeding. The one thing is like, all right, you're throwing Landon Knack one of these games. The pitching, if Snell's going to get hurt, if Snell's not going to come back immediately, and who knows, shoulder inflammation, we'll see. And you start to rack up these pitching injuries. That's the one chink in the armor where anyone can be vulnerable to a bad stretch of baseball. Now they have depth. They've got guys coming off the IL. They've always got pitchers hurt and coming back, and then hurt and coming back. That's why it was smart for them to attack it the way they did and get so much volume. Sasaki was better his last start out, but he hasn't been great yet. Yamamoto is solid. They're going to be fine. They're going to win there. People count their money though after a week or so that if you bet over 103.5, 104.5, that you're going to absolutely cash that and they're going to win 110. Like I thought, only a bad couple of games here, but that does give you at least some pause. All right, this isn't going to be as easy maybe as you thought, but not cutting in line here to bet the Padres plus 850 to win the division or the Giants at 19-1. I still think this will ultimately be the Dodgers division as the odds reflect. Diamondbacks 12-1. They're 7-6. They haven't played great. That's still a good team. I would think a playoff team. That's the thing with the NL. If you think the Giants are semi for real, Dodgers, Padres, Diamondbacks, Giants, that's four teams right there. I know you get an extra wild card team, but there's only three wild cards. All right, let's give the division winner to the Central and nothing else. So that's five teams in the mix. And then the NL East, Phillies, Mets, Braves, that's eight teams. So out of Phillies, Mets, Braves, division winner for the Central, Dodgers, Padres, Diamondbacks, Giants, two of those teams are going to miss the playoffs. That's a very good National League compared to the American League where you kind of struggle. You kind of struggle to even get to eight to the six teams. And there's just a lot more mediocrity, a lot more bunched up. I mean, how do you view the Astros and the Mariners and the Red Sox and the Orioles and the Yankees? There's just a lot of these teams where it's more. I just think there's more talent in the National League. I think that's probably the simplest way to put it. There's just more talent in the National League. As far as the championship odds to win the World Series, Dodgers are plus 250. The second favorite, and this is just insane to me. There's no way to really capitalize this because you can't really bet the no. The second favorite is still the Yankees at 9-1. The Yankees are not winning the World Series. That's just a bad number. That's a bad bet. Phillies are 10-1. Braves are 11-1. Mets 12-1. Rangers 15-1. Orioles 17-1. Astros 18-1. Tigers 20-1. Tigers are not winning the World Series. Oh, with Scooble getting a short series, who knows? But Scooble and Flaherty's not bad, so I shouldn't dismiss them that quickly. But I wouldn't bet them at 20-1 either. Red Sox at 20-1. Cubs 22-1. Padres 25-1. Royals and Diamondbacks 25-1. Mariners 28-1. So boy, you got basically half the league. I mean, the league reflects the balance because you got basically more than half the league that's 25, 30-1 or less. If I did the exercise where you gave me $100 to bet for free and I could just, hey, pick a World Series winner right now based on the odds, I would go with Boston, I think, at 20-1. I like their young talent. I think they'll get on track with their schedule. I think they'll be in the playoffs. I think they get a good manager with Cora. Maybe they'll add at the deadline. They've got the farm system to add. So I'd probably go Boston at 20-1, but I'd be open to other answers. Texas at 15-1, I don't think it's bad. I mentioned them before the season at 25-1. I don't think they're bad at 15-1, but I'd probably go Boston at 20-1. But let's talk a little football. Let's talk some NFL with Aaron Schatz. That is next. This is Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should have been more podcasts. Let's talk a little football. You hear him here during the season a few times, always with his annual preview, which I'm sure he's working on at the moment. It is the great Aaron Schatz, FTN Fantasy, creator of DVOA. Aaron, what's going on, man? How's your offseason treating you?
Hey, offseason's been good. Free agency was interesting. Excited for the draft. Get started on the book. Usual stuff.
What does Aaron Schatz do during the offseason? You're so immersed in football, September through January, February. When you have this time off, do you go back and look at previous seasons? You go back and look at the last season? You just kind of relax. How do you fill the
Some
time?
of that is, cleaning up some historical stuff, working on methodologies, trying to improve methodology, and then just doing the projections for next year and writing stuff in free agency. I do ESPN writing about free agency and the draft and so on.
All right, let's get to some of these over-unders because a few of these are interesting. I'll start with your Patriots. This is one to me that jumped off the page. I understand Vrabel's maybe an upgrade. I understand the enthusiasm for May, but to me, 8.5 wins seems like a hell of a lot of wins. I like the under here. Do you understand this number, and where do you stand here on the Patriots going into the season?
My initial projections have it a little bit lower than this. 8.5 seems high to me. I would go more like 7.5 or 8. But they do have an easy schedule, and they have Stephon Diggs now. If he's healthy, that's, obviously good. And people feel like May will take another step forward, and they'll have on offensive line, some sort of actual offensive line. So, I mean, they'll be better than last year, but yeah, I think the number's a little high.
Who do you want them to draft?
I mean, in my dream, Shedeur Sanders gets taken second or third, and that leaves either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter for them. And if they pass on one of those guys to take Will Campbell, I'm going to lose my mind. But if Shedeur Sanders does not go in the top three, and Carter and Hunter go to the Browns and Giants, then if they take Will Campbell, I'll be okay with it.
What is your opposition to Campbell? You just feel like the other two are better
Just that
prospects?
so many people question whether he's really worth a top five pick. To me, it's very clear, like, there's two very special players in this draft, which is Hunter and Carter, and you really want to end up with one of them. And otherwise, I'd rather trade down, which I don't think they're going to do, because I don't know who would want to trade up into that spot if Hunter and Carter aren't available. Hunter's just, there's never been anyone like him. And Carter is basically considered the best, the most likely guy to become a Pro Bowl player. So if they get one of those two guys, I'll be pretty happy.
You mentioned your projections and how your projections have them slightly under. Do you get into coaching, or is that just something that's too much of an intangible that you don't know how to price? You kind of leave that
Yeah.
alone. And what are your thoughts with Vrabel overall?
I mean, you've got one example of how good Vrabel was as a coach. So you don't, it's not like you have six or seven teams that Vrabel took over and improved, right? You have one team that he took over and coached, relatively well, but like you can't really bump the Patriots up for that.
Yeah, and I've made the point too. I've been of the opinion he's a solid coach. I understand he's an upgrade. A little overrated. There just seems to me, I think there's a gap between how he's perceived and what he's actually done. I think a lot of what's carrying the weight with his reputation, he pulled off a couple upsets in 2019. He beat the Patriots, and then they beat that really good Ravens team. Since then, one and done in the playoffs at home a couple times. Once when he was a one seed. I understand they overachieved for the one seed. Then they're 8-3, lost the rest of their games, missed the playoffs again. So I don't know. I just feel like
The
he's
people
good
I've
with the
talked to in
metagame. Yeah, go ahead.
Nashville, people I've talked to in Nashville question his ability with personnel. It's more Vrabel the GM than Vrabel the coach that gets questioned.
Yeah, interesting. Go through some of these other over under wins. I want to get your thoughts if you think anything else jumped out to you. Dallas at 7.5. I feel like because they're so popular, so commonly discussed, that their problems sometimes get magnified. They're still a team. They got, the second place MVP finisher from a year and a half ago now. They were 11-5 3 years in a row. Okay, they had a bad year. It didn't go well, but to me, 7.5 is a little low for them. What are your thoughts in general on the Cowboys here?
I had that pegged straight on. I've got that about exactly right.
Okay.
And their offense, I mean, I'm not a Schottenheimer guy. Offenses that have new head coaching and new schemes tend to take a step back. I mean, yeah, they are getting Prescott back, and I like Prescott, but again, like, who's he throwing to besides CeeDee Lamb? They've lost Brandon Cooks. The defense has lost some guys. And some guys are not going to necessarily come back from injury right away. I think Trevon Diggs, they said, is not necessarily going to be ready for week one, and Overshown won't be ready for week one. So yeah, I don't have the Cowboys bouncing back.
How about Minnesota 8.5? It feels a little square to me to be like, oh, they won 14 last year. Now they're only 8.5. I must be missing. I understand McCarthy's a huge question mark at the most important position, a quarterback. But and look, I'm not a film guy, but the film guys seem to love the talent they added on both lines in free agency. What are you thinking here for the Vikings?
Yeah, our projections for the Vikings are really low. Like, really low, like shockingly low. It's the most shocking team in the projections right now, mostly because of defense. Very high turnover rate last year tends to regress to the mean. Very strong in short yardage against the run tends to regress to the mean. Very strong penalty differential, right? Is not necessarily going to continue next year. Lost some talent. they've added some talent, but they've lost some talent, like Gilmore, for example. Yeah, we're not high on the Vikings right now.
What number did you have for them?
I mean, I've lower than 8.5.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
I mean, we're not done with the projection. Things
Right.
we'll find out who gets drafted and play around with them a little bit. But yeah, we have them pretty low. We also have them with the second hardest projected schedule.
Are there any other over-unders that jump out to you?
We like Arizona more. Arizona did strongly last year by DVOA, and their defense in particular is better than I think people realize. And they also have an easy schedule this year. And then I think you wanted to talk about San Francisco separately, but we have San Francisco really reasonably high.
Yeah, that's one of the teams that I do find interesting just because you can talk me into either one. You could tell me, hey, the window's closed. They missed their opportunity. They had a 5, 6 year stretch where they're in the Super Bowl a lot, NFC title game a lot, and you don't get to do that forever. But you could also tell me there's a scenario where we're talking next January and they're coming off a 12-5 or 13-4 season and they bounce back and, Purdy's good, McCaffrey's good. They plug in the skill guys and they bounce back. So I don't know where I stand. I'm generally more optimistic than pessimistic, but that's one where you can convince me either way.
Yeah, bad turnover margin last year tends to regress to the mean. Poor defense against short yardage runs tends to regress to the mean. Most injured team in the league tends to regress to the mean. 31st on special teams tends to regress to the mean. And easiest projected schedule.
Okay, that answers it. What do
So
you have them
I know
projected for?
they've lost some guys, but they are getting some guys back. Demarcus Robinson is a little underrated, I think, as an addition. And obviously McCaffrey, hopefully they hope that he's healthy. We may have it a little bit too high, but yeah, I think they're going to bounce back.
What number do you have for them?
I mean, pretty high.
Okay, and like that 11 or so range, something like that.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Chiefs? Famously, the Patriots. Everyone, I think a lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of people think of the Patriots as, oh, they won the Super Bowl every year. They were in the Super Bowl every year. They went a good decade between winning them, 2004 to 2014. There was a dry spell in there. Do you sense a lull is coming with the Chiefs where they're going to have to retool, or is this just as simple as they have Mahomes, they have Reed, and we're going to look up and they're going to be, right back in the title game or Super Bowl next year?
I think they'll be right back in it, not necessarily in the title game or the Super Bowl, but they're going to be one of the top competitors this year. But they can't possibly keep winning close games like they did last year with things like the Raiders fumbling and the blocked field goal against the Broncos. And that possibly can't continue. Also, I don't think people realize how much Travis Kelce fell off last year. And I think people expecting him to rebound, it's just not likely. He's gotten old.
Who do you have as your worst team?
We have Cleveland with lowest in wins because they have the hardest schedule. We have Carolina as the worst.
Interesting. Is this just going back to your projections? I remember a couple years ago, you had the Giants as worst. Now, I guess I'll just ask it this way. Are your projections on the low usually more accurate than the projections on the high, or not necessarily?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
It's a mix, obviously. We don't like the Carolina defense. It's not as much. I think if I say to you, we have Carolina as the worst team, you say, oh, well, you don't like Bryce Young. Yeah, the numbers don't like Bryce Young. But also, we have their defense is pretty bad.
What do you do with the draft? How do you project these guys that come into the draft? The Cam Wards, the Carters, the Sanders? Is it, I mean, I'd imagine
You
it's
basically,
gone.
you assume the draft position, you assume that teams draft, smartly. And so defensive rookies tend to have more effect that you can measure than offensive rookies other than quarterbacks. So like if you take a defensive player in the first couple rounds, it boosts your defensive projection from us. But I'm not going to try to judge who's the best player. It's just based on, did you take a defensive guy fifth or did you take a defensive guy 23rd, right? I'm not going to try to because we know that the draft's a crapshoot anyway, and nobody's really any better than anybody else at projecting how these guys are going to be in the NFL.
What are your thoughts on the quarterback carousel from the offseason? Darnold to the Seahawks, Geno Smith to the Raiders, which was kind of out of nowhere. The Giants adding Wilson and Winston. Anything move the needle for you in terms of that?
I think that the people who say that Geno Smith is better than you realize and are surprised at what Seattle did are right, except for Geno Smith's age. Because I don't know if Geno Smith will continue to be better than you realize. I think he has been better than people realize, but I don't know if that will continue. He's like 35. So not everybody can be Tom Brady and play till they're 44, right? So I think with Darnold, they got some sort of a similar, but younger at least. So, I mean, I kind of understand it. But I don't know. The Minnesota offensive line was not as good as people think it was in the second half of the year. So I don't think he's necessarily going from great blocking to terrible blocking, but the Seattle offensive line has problems and Darnold's not good again, under pressure. So I guess everybody thinks Rodgers is going to Pittsburgh. I don't think Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers is a good marriage. Arthur Smith wants to run play action all the time, and Aaron Rodgers hates to turn his back to the defense. So good luck with that, kids.
I haven't talked a lot about Rodgers because I feel like people are, sick of t talking about it, hearing it. Is that your assumption that he goes to Pittsburgh? And if it's going to happen, why hasn't it happened yet? Do you think he's holding out hope that, maybe Minnesota calls me, gives me a chance to compete for the job, and I have a much better team around me? What's your thoughts just in general?
Maybe. I mean, I think, if Minnesota calls him, then why did they draft JJ McCarthy in the first place? Like, if you draft a guy 10th and you're not willing to give him the job within 2 years, well, what are you doing?
No, I would agree. I would agree. I would just, I don't know if there's concern about the injury, if you have Rodgers' insurance policies, just a strange situation that it
Yeah,
hasn't
he's
been
not the
resolved.
best insurance policy as far as who I would want to stay quiet in the locker room. I would rather have like Winston or something.
Where do you think Cousins goes?
I don't know what's the deal with him. I don't know. Atlanta keeps talking about keeping him. I don't know what. I don't know what's going to happen with him. Cleveland would make sense, but they can't take on any of that contract.
Yeah, it's that's another strange situation. Are you surprised the Jets give the job to Fields, and what do you project for them? I know Fields has been a guy who, I only won some games last year, but the numbers don't like him. I know the film guys don't like him. What are your thoughts here in terms of what New York's doing?
Yeah, I'm just a, the Fields has just never had good numbers. Like he had 4 or 5 games last year of being average, and people are like, "Oh, there we go, finally." I mean, this is his 4th year, and it's a 4 or 5 game sample, and he was average, and people are excited about that. Like, most likely is that he's what he was before that, which is below average. He's not. Our projections for the Jets offense are not, typical Jets. We have them with strong defense and a bad offense.
Anything when the schedules come out here in the next month or so, usually what, mid-May, what do you look for in the schedules? Clusters of
Not
hard
much.
games, anything, or is just kind of one ear, not the other?
Nah. I know that there's some people who've done some work on rest differentials and the travel amounts. And I mean, for me, it's mostly who loses road games or home games by playing in Europe.
Okay, so you downplay the importance of the rest, or it's just something where you don't really.
I've just never figured out a way to measure it well
Okay.
enough in a way that actually can apply to my projection systems.
All right, any other teams that jump out to you that you think are interesting going into the season?
No, we talked about Minnesota. I mean, the teams we have low are mostly the teams you would expect. Giants, Tennessee, Carolina, Cleveland. I mean, I think Chicago will be a little bit better. I think New England will be better, right? Young quarterbacks improving. I think Washington will be good again. The thing about Daniels is I don't know if he can improve because he was already so good. How do you improve on that, right?
Is Philly your best team?
No, we actually have Philly a little lower than you would expect, although I don't really like where the projections have them right now. We're probably going to play with that a little bit, but they have lost some talent. They had some reason to believe that they were a little some things are going to regress to the mean on defense, and they lost a good amount of talent on defense and offense. The offense should be the same as it was last year.
All right, Aaron, we got a draft here in a couple weeks, and then you know what? You watch a little basketball, a little baseball before you know it. Hall of Fame, you're not that far away. We're getting there. We're not that far away.
Yeah, I know, man. It's the NFL is a 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, man. It never ends.
Aaron, appreciate the time, man. FTN Fantasy, where else can we find you?
ESPN Plus, at FTNFantasy.com. Those are the two places that I write.
Appreciate the time. Hopefully we'll do it again. When Almanac comes out July-ish, August.
Yeah, around July 10th.
All right. Hopefully we can talk around then. And appreciate it, man. Enjoy your off season, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good.
All right, rate, review, subscribe, Gold Boys Discord. Check it out, goldboys.com. Guys had some nice hits the past couple weeks, so check it out there. Aaron Schatz, appreciate him coming on. We will be back Monday. See you then.